Mark 5 today with three stories, and each one begins hopeless. Three people desperately in need, and in all three cases, the world had given up. So when do you give up? When is the disease too much? When is the mind too far gone? When is a person beyond hope? Hope is amazing. Hope is like a shot of adrenaline for your soul. Hope can get me through anything. And Lord knows, we all have those days when we need some hope. Now, context is key here. Chapter 4 ended with the disciples out at sea with Jesus. A storm hit. The disciples thought they were dead. The storm was furious, and the boat was ready to go down. And they found Jesus sleeping. Don't you care if we drown? Ever ask Jesus that question? Jesus gets up, rebukes the storm, and it was completely calm. The disciples are amazed. But what catches me is Jesus' question, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" All along, the whole storm was about their faith. See, Jesus gave them a word, "We're going to the other side," but it took faith to believe it. And at one of the hardest points in my own life, storm after unending storm, God used that very story to give me a word. "I won't get you out, but I will get you through." And true enough, the storms never died, but he keeps getting me through. He knew that what I really needed was faith. And Jesus knew that the disciples would need faith too. Faith enough to have hope for a hopeless man. That brings us to chapter 5, verse 2. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit, that means demon, came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. This man was demonized. This is not the same as mental illness. He is literally possessed by demons. I say that because in a previous version of this recording, I was not clear about that distinction, and I want to apologize for and clearly correct that mistake. I am truly sorry. Mental illness is a sickness in the brain that can take various forms. It affects Christians and non-Christians alike, and should be treated by a doctor, as any illness should. The man in this story is not mentally ill. He is demon-possessed, and most people have probably long since given up hope. The guy lives in tombs. For some reason, demons are all about death. Whether it's music, games, movies, art, they want your mind living in the tombs. This man is a cutter, too, and he's strong enough to tear apart chains. So should they just give up on the guy? Have you ever tried to help someone who just seemed beyond help? It's hard. It takes patience. It takes hope. Zach Martinez was a dear friend of mine. Zach was a 60s child, abused as a kid. He tried acid at 19. Now, those drugs can trigger a mental illness, but Zach was also wide open to the occult. He invited the darkness, and darkness entered. I don't understand exactly how demon possession works or why God allows it, but Zach went through it. Now, Zach was still Zach. He held it together enough to work, even marry, and start a family. Zach fought in Vietnam and was awarded a Purple Heart, but the darkness wouldn't leave. So when do you give up on a man? A year? 2 years? Five? They all passed, and Zach's mind was filled with evil thoughts 24/7. He was in and out of the hospital. He could carry a conversation, but always his mind was full of thoughts of hurting himself, his wife, his kids. It never left him. Again, I'm not a pro at this stuff, but I would say that it is the pervasive presence of violent thoughts that really suggest that a demon may be involved. Zach held a job in those years, even had Christian co-workers, genuine born-again believers. In his years of torment, not once did one of them even try to share the good news of Jesus. No one told him about the rescuer of souls. I wonder about this demonized man in Mark 5. How long before his parents gave up? What did his old friends think? But then, what really matters is that Jesus showed up. When Jesus arrived, the man ran to him. But it's the demons talking first, a bunch of them. They call themselves Legion. Now, there's a lot to this story, but I'll let you read through it. In the end, Jesus casts the demons out of them and into pigs, and the pigs jump in the sea. The enemy seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. The pig owners go tell the townspeople, and the people come to check it out. And in verse 15, when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Check it out. The man is dressed and in his right mind. Zach told me the story of Valentine's Day, 1980. 11 years of darkness and insanity had passed. His wife handed him a Valentine's Day card and walked out, broken. When is it time to give up? Zach was alone. That very day, he found a Christian tract that he'd stolen from his mom. He read it. He read the gospel. He could feel God's hand pulling the darkness out of his heart. He was saved that day. He knew it. He felt God's touch, and he knew he was going to heaven. His wife stayed. But time passed, and 2 years later, his mind still wasn't healed. The demons were gone, but Zach still had mental illness to deal with. Remember, the two are not the same. But why couldn't God just heal him of both? Well, back in Mark 5, Jesus moves on. He sends the man, set back in his right mind, and thankfully dressed, back to his home. Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. But the disciples have more ministry ahead. They cross the lake again, and on the other side, two more hopeless people. First, a religious man with a dying daughter. Then an older woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. She spent all her money on doctors, but no help. When Jesus stops for the woman, precious time is lost for the dying girl. Men come to tell the father, "Your daughter is dead." Why bother the teacher anymore? In other words, time to give up hope. Now I'll let you read those stories. But if you've heard them before, slow down and put yourself in their shoes. Would you hold out hope? But I will finish Zach's story. In 1982, after 13 years of battle, the first 11 fighting with demons, the last two as a born-again Christian, but still mentally ill, Zach resigned himself to the facts. He had to go back to the hospital for help. Perhaps God would use him there to share Jesus. Well, God did use him there, but not the way he expected. When he finally submitted everything, God healed his mind. It was miraculous. By the time I met Zach, he had been healed and whole for many years. He became a dear friend and one of the most stable, clear-minded people I ever met. For many years, Zach served as chaplain in numerous mental hospitals. Zach well knew the difference between demon possession and mental illness. He experienced both. In a case of mental illness, he would encourage you to trust God and trust a good doctor. He also worked tirelessly to help veterans get past their demons, both emotional and spiritual. And when my own dad struggled with bipolar disorder, Zach drove across the desert with me just to go visit him. I loved my dad, but it was hard to hope sometimes. Zach gave me hope again, and that hope did not disappoint. Zach passed away last year, heart issues. A tough reminder that God does not heal every illness every time. Just doesn't work that way. The stories here in Mark 5 remind me that Jesus heals from spiritual issues, physical issues, even death issues. But they also remind me that every story is different, and God's timing doesn't work on my timetable. Each person healed here endured a lot of pain before healing came. I asked Zach one time if it was worth it. 13 years of darkness and anger. He didn't hesitate. Without a doubt, he said, "I can go in that hospital and say, I know what you're going through." He shared the gospel every time, and week after week, people came to Christ. Zach told me the greatest need in every hospital was forgiveness. We got talking one time about compassion and caring and such, and Zach said to me, all that stuff is alive for me because of what I went through. Zach's favorite verse to share is Revelation 21:4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Now there is a reason to hope.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.